Good evening, church. Yes, my husband and I decided to join Bible school this year. We are new to Shofar. We relocated to Stellenbosch at the end of last year, and we decided one of the best ways to get to know the teachings of Shofar would be to join Bible school. Any case, so the first session, we were late because we couldn't find the lecture hall. And then we couldn't find parking. But I've since come to realize that that is a common Stellenbosch problem. So once inside, we had no difficulty finding the appropriate lecture hall. We just followed the noise. When we came there, we were now finding a place to sit, and we just looked at each other in total amazement, because I've now seen the statistics, and now it looks like quite a few students, but to us it looked like hundreds of students, very loud, very noisy, and very energetic inside this hall, and everybody was clambering and climbing over the bunks to find a nice place to sit. So we just looked at each other, because I must tell you, we are by far the oldest in the Bible school. We really are. So we just looked at each other and we thought, oh my goodness, are we going to be able to cope? This is going to be one big challenge. Because it felt like years ago, the first day at school. Any case. In any event, just as we settled down, in walked Pastor Anton. And immediately, everybody was silenced. And yes, just immediately. Any case. And he proceeded forthwith, and he threw a curveball. And this was the curveball. He said, imagine yourselves being on a remote island, far away from your usual place of abode. You are amongst natives on this remote island who have never seen Westerners, never mind ever having heard about the gospel. Now, I want you to tell me, how are you going to tell these natives about Jesus? How are you going to explain to them who Jesus is? A timid hand went up. I will tell this native that Jesus is the one that came to forgive your sins. Sins? What is a sin? What is a sin? What are sins? Says Pastor Anton. The class is a little bit quieter. And then eventually another hand goes up. My hubby and me, we just keep quiet. We just listen to this. So another student puts up a hand, and she says, well, I'll tell them, sins are all the wrongs you've done in your life. Wrongs? I've never done a wrong thing in my whole life, says native Anton. And church, there and then, I am hooked, absolutely hooked. Hooked on the doctrine of God. Because I realize, how is this possible? I've been a Christian my whole life. I've raised Christian children. I'm busy now with grandchildren. I've been in a very lucrative and busy professional career, my husband as well. And we don't know how to tell an uneducated native who Jesus is. So, needless to say, Bible school for us is an incredible experience. We don't miss a class. We literally don't miss a class. We look so forward to it. We enjoy it so much. And we are growing. We can see that we are growing. And I can tell you that I have absolutely fallen in love with Jesus all over again. Because as in Mark 12 verse 28, when Jesus answers the I think it was the disciples and also the Pharisees, on what is the most important thing. He says that the most important thing is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now, in Bible school, you get the opportunity to love God with your mind, which is really something deeper and something different from what normally you get in church and elsewhere. Okay. Now, just a little bit, some of the other things that our Bible school has taught me. Pastor Sias has urged us to get out of bed when doing Bible study in your quiet time. Now, I just want to tell you that the spirit of duvet does not only hinder students and young people, it very much hinders older people as well. So, we have now, since my husband and I, we have been getting out of bed every morning, and we do our quiet time completely differently. And I just want to testify that my quiet time has changed completely, completely. I am much more focused in my prayer, much more focused in what God is showing me. God is at the moment really showing me areas in my life that needs to change. And I'm also starting to hear the Holy Spirit more and more and more often. Right, then, James. James taught us how to come into the presence of God through praise and worship. Now, let me tell you, we can't jump up and round anymore. It's just not at this age, it's just not that possible to be so energetic. But what we could do and what we did is we went out and we went to Coom and we bought some DVDs, praise and worship DVDs. And now we are playing those praise and worship DVDs during our different quiet times, and it has really, really changed quiet time as well. Okay, and then Pastor Sias taught us discipleship. And, he's still busy, I think. And there's coming from Gauteng, I'm not, the different cultures in the Cape has been quite something foreign for me. And I'm just not used to it. And neither am I used to seeing so many Muslims and having to work with Muslims. So, there's a young Muslim girl at my workplace. And when Pastor Sias said that if you don't have an opportunity to testify or to as yet lead someone to Christ, start by praying. And I did that. I've been praying for her, and it is just blossomed into a beautiful friendship. And who knows what is going to happen further. So, let me tell you, church, whether you are 18 or 58, don't lose out. Come to Bible school.
Hello. Okay. Oh, hi. Good evening. My name is Alain, and I will also share some stories about Bible school and what it has meant to my life, particularly. I have coming from a background that is very individualistic and liberalistic, anything goes, and it's all about me and what I think. I think that one of the most profound things Bible school has taught me is it's all about God, and it's all about Jesus, and it's all about the church. You really do come second after that. And that was massive to change my whole perspective and mind about that, and yeah, that was pretty awesome. The second thing Bible school has taught me was to do with learning the actual character of God as a father, as God who is actually for you and who loves you. And from that place to actually be able to trust him wholeheartedly and give over my life, because it's easier because I trust him now. I know him. So that was massive. And also to be able to obey after that, it gets much easier if you trust him and love them, love someone, then you can actually obey them and do what they ask you to do. That's one other thing. And the last thing I want to share about what Bible school has meant to me is to see Jesus and to see the heart of Jesus, especially in terms of people who are not saved and the Great Commission. I really didn't get that much. I thought, you know, it's my life, so it's my Christian life and all of that. But now it's more about Jesus and what is on his heart and the people who are not saved. So being equipped in that way, being equipped in order to actually reach other people, it's really massive to see someone, okay, they are not saved. How do we go about it? Because that's the most important thing to actually help someone. That's the best way to love someone if they are not saved, is to, you know, make sure they get to heaven. So that's it for me. Oh, thank you.
Good evening, church. My name is Natalie, and I've had the privilege of doing Bible school for the last 2 years. One of the things that's really stood out for me about Bible school is the fact that God is so personal, and he'll use a thing like Bible school to come and teach us stuff that are specific to what we need to hear. And for me, in my life, it's been this whole thing of worship. I went from, in first year, I had such a fear of worship and singing in front of people that I used to sing in my cupboard and hope that no one could hear me in res at all. And I went to Bible school, and the one thing that's one of the sessions that started breaking that was James did a session on worship and this thing of entering into God's presence. And he was explaining how he was just saying how it was really pivotal. He was explaining how worship is not just solely based on how we sing and raise our hands and everything. It's far beyond that. And it goes into just who he is and what he's about. And it's not limited to that, and how we need to choose to worship God in every single situation. So I was like, okay, so worship is not just raising my hand, so I can get out of my cupboard and I can worship him every day in everything that I do. So that started shifting it. And then CS did a session on discipleship and about quiet time, and he started explaining how in quiet time, every time you have quiet time, you should incorporate this bit of worship. So we had this practical session on worship. I just want to read to you guys, because that just shifted something inside of me. And it said, 40 minutes we sang together without any instruments or anything. 40 minutes. Lord, 40 minutes. And the presence was so thick that I got to a point where I almost couldn't sing. We sang in tongues. We sang refrains. We sang fire. We just worshipped. And it was amazing. And when we were finished, I had this excited bubble in my spirit. And it just felt like God was affirming me. And he was reminding me that he believed in me. God was being personal about this worship thing. And then the other day, we had a session with Richard. And he was explaining how the Ark of the Covenant had been stolen by the Philistines, and it had been put away in their temple there and taken from the Israelites. And they went in the next day to go and see, okay, how's everything going? And their god Dagon, bah, he was flat on the floor. So they're like, a little bit of an issue. And they put him up again, and the next day they came back and he was on the floor again with no arms and legs. And for me, I was like, whoa. The Bible doesn't say that God said anything. His presence, nothing is above him. No other name is above him. On the floor, face down. And So not only is Bible school about meeting incredible people and about spending time in the Word with people who are passionate about finding more about Christ, but it's a place that God uses where he gets personal with us and he deals with personal stuff in our lives. So, Bible school. Go.
Evening, everyone. I think the thing that I'm most thankful for that I gained at Bible school was a real hunger and desire to know and understand the Word of God. Every week, you get this opportunity to sit under the teaching of men and women who not only know but really love and live out and have lived out the Word of God for many years, and I think that is really powerful. And attending every week, I found that I learn things that I can immediately apply to my life, and that's really powerful. But even more than that, I gain a desire to know and understand the Word of God that sends me into my room as well, into my quiet time, really looking for the wisdom of God. And I think it doesn't matter what sphere you come from, whether you're an engineer or a businessman or a pastor or an artist or what you are, the Word of God is still the firm foundation of wisdom and instruction in all of our lives. You know, Jesus said that we should build our houses on the rock, which is the Word, because the wisdom of this world is like sand, and when we build on that, it'll fail us when the storms of life come. But the Word of God is a firm foundation, and that is my belief that it is powerful. I mean, that's my testimony as well. When I was in a train somewhere up in Africa and I was so anxious, I thought I was going crazy, the Word of God in context with relationship with Him worked, and it delivered me from that. When my parents got divorced and didn't speak to each other for 18 years, the Word of God worked and they reconciled and they're both serving the Lord. So I want to... I really want to encourage you to come and do Bible school, to lay that firm foundation in your lives and to build your houses on the rock and not in the sand. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Can I ask everyone who is busy doing Bible school this year to stand in this place? I know there's quite a few of you. We want to lay hands on you. Okay, can we give them a great round of applause? We really want to celebrate you tonight as a church. Please remain standing. We really want to celebrate you tonight, and we want to honor you as well for the time that you've taken out every Tuesday and every Monday for the 3 years, where you allowed men and women of God to invest in your life. And I just want to ask the people that surround them, if you can lay hands on them, as I just want to pray a prayer over them. So... everybody put a hand on someone. Father God, we want to thank you for these precious, precious people, Lord, that you've raised up, Lord. And God, we want to thank you for your seed, Father God, of truth, Lord, that was sown, Lord, through this year, Lord, and last year, Father God, as well, into their lives, Lord. And Father God, we want to thank you that we know, God, hearing some of these testimonies, that seed hath fallen into good ground, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you will be the one that water that, Lord, and that will, Father God, make that seed bring forth, Lord, tenfold, 100-fold, and 1,000-fold, Lord. And tonight as a church, Lord, we commission them and we send them out, Lord. And Lord, that we pray that you will refresh the things that they have learned, the things that they have picked up, God, and that they will be a blessing to the nations, Lord, as they go as seed sowers, Lord, and throw out the seed, Lord, into a world, Lord, that's so desperately looking for the fruit of your goodness and your mercy. And we pray that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let's give them another round of applause. Pastor Anton.